The Rotten Romans by Terry Deary and Martin Brown. A Horrible Histories book read by Vanna Vance. Introduction. History can be horribly hard to learn. The trouble is, it keeps on changing. In maths, 2 and 2 is usually 4. And in science, water is always made up of hydrogen and oxygen. But in history, things aren't that simple. In history, a fact is sometimes not a fact at all. Really, it's just someone's opinion, and opinions can be different for different people. For example, you probably think your teacher is more horrible than the cold cabbage and custard you had for school dinner. That's your opinion. But teacher's mom probably thinks he's sweeter than tea with 6 sugars. That's her opinion. You could both be right. We are both be wrong. Where was Hadrian's wall? At the bottom of Hadrian's garden, sir. See what I mean? Both right, both wrong. When was Rome built? Why do you say that? Please, miss, Rome was built at night. Because my mom says Rome wasn't built in a day. Of course, honest answers like these don't get you gold stars. No, teachers will try to tell you there are right and wrong answers, even if there aren't. Why did the Romans build straight roads? So the Britons couldn't hide round corners. Idiot. There are worse things than horrible history. Want to know what? Teachers' jokes are more horrible than the Tower of London torture chamber. The Romans conquered Africa, they conquered Europe, they conquered Britain, then they stopped, probably ran out of corners. Hee hee, groan. The Romans divided Gaul into 3 parts, probably used a pair of Caesars, hee hee. I wish someone would divide her in 3 parts. So history can be horrible, but when you find the real truth about the past, you can suddenly discover it's horribly fascinating. Everyone loves a good murder story. History is full of them, like the murder of Julius Caesar. Blood all over the place. And there are horror stories, thrillers, horror stories, and comedies. That's the sort of history you'll find in this book. With a bit of luck, you might even horrify your teacher. Terrible timelines. The Rotten Romans timeline. BC. 753. Roman legend says Rome was founded by Romulus. The truth is that the early Romans were farmers living in a region called Latium. Feel like founding an empire? 509. The Romans are fed up with their cruel king, Tarquin. They throw him out and rule themselves. That's called a republic. 264. First of the Punic Wars against the great enemy Carthage in North Africa. Result? Rome 1, Carthage 0. 218. Hannibal of Carthage attacks Rome with the help of elephants. He can't capture Rome, but rampages around Italy terrorizing people. It was a daft name anyway. Tarquin, 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 out, out, out. 202. Scipio takes charge of the Roman army and beats Hannibal. Rome 2, Carthage 0. The Roman farmers take over more and more land until they have the whole of Italy. This is terrible, that elephant's offside. 136. Third, we are to wipe Carthage out forever. Game, set, and match to Rome. The Romans get to like the idea of conquering people. They start on the rest of the world. Hey, this is fun! 130. By now the Romans have conquered Greece and most of Spain. 100. Julius Caesar is born. They only came from the beaches. 59. Julius Caesar becomes consul for the first time. 55. Julius Caesar invades Britain for the first time because he says A. The Belgae of South Britain are helping the Gauls of North France to rebel against the Romans, and B. There's a wealth of tin, copper, and lead to be found in Britain. 34. Julius Caesar is elected dictator for life, then murdered. Well, I didn't invade for the weather. AD 33. Claudius gives orders for the invasion of Britain, again. 60. One tribe, the Iceni, rebel. Queen Boudica leads them in massacres of Romans. Roman general Paulinus defeats her and she poisons herself. Maybe I should have stayed in Sussex. The Iceni are revolting. You could say that. 80. Julius Agricola completes the invasion, except for the Picts in Scotland. 84. Agricola beats the Picts at Moncrapu in Scotland. 122. Hadrian starts building a wall across northern England to keep out the Picts. 235-285. 50-year period with over 20 Roman emperors, mainly because they keep getting murdered. I didn't think I'd have to do it myself. 213. Emperor Constantine allows Christian worship. 280. Christianity becomes official religion of Rome. 301. Roman troops are being withdrawn from Britain to defend Rome. 310. Barbarian tribes from Germany begin attacks on the empire and Rome itself. 376. The last Roman emperor of the Western Empire is forced to retire. 1353. The Empire of the East falls to the Turks. End of the Roman Empire. I've never had to place anything this big before. The Babbling Britons timeline. B.C. 6500. The Ice Age ends, the sea level rises. The northwest corner of Europe is cut off by the sea. The British Isles are formed. The islanders are Britons. It may not be much of an English channel yet, but one day. 3,600. The Britons build Stonehenge. The wooden ones kept burning down. 2,150. Tin is discovered in the southwest. Mixed with copper, it makes the hardest metal yet known to humans. Bronze. 900. Britons make human and animal sacrifices at Peterborough. 600. Iron takes over from bronze for making weapons and tools. 70. Druids are becoming powerful leaders of the Britons. This is iron. Bronze is last year's metal. 55. Julius Caesar invades but doesn't stay for long. 80. 10. Britain independent from Rome, but some British leaders like to copy a Roman way of life. I came, I saw, I conquered, but only for a weekend. 30. The rich southeast of Britain under one ruler, Cunobelinus, who gives himself the Roman name of Rex, meaning king. Just call me C-Rex. 31. Cunobelinus dies. His sons Togodumnus and Caratactus take over. They're not so keen on the Romans. 32. Verica, king of the Atrebates in southern England, is thrown out by his people because he is friendly with Rome. Caratacus was stirring them up. Verica flees to Rome and asks for Roman help. Have you got an army I could borrow? 33. The Romans invade and Togodumnus is killed after a battle at the River Medway. 51. After years of resistance, Caratacus is betrayed and handed over to the Romans in chains. Oops. 60. Queen of the Iceni in East Anglia, Boudica, leads a rebellion against the Romans and is defeated. The Romans also destroy the Druid sanctuary in Anglesey. 122. Emperor Hadrian's Wall is begun to stop the Picts and Scots invading England. Is nothing sacred? 125. Britons are encouraged to join the Roman army and become Roman citizens when they retire. Are we senior citizens, Roman citizens, or both? 213. All free Britons become Roman citizens, but Roman citizens pay Roman taxes. 367. As the Roman Empire weakens, the attacks on Hadrian's Wall increase. 305. As the Romans leave, the way of life leaves soon after. Roman coins are replaced by the ancient custom of bartering. 310. The Emperor Honorius tells the Britons, defend yourselves, as the Irish, the Picts, the Scots, and the Saxons from North Germany begin to raid Britain. Ouch! 320. Saxons begin to settle in eastern Britain. 333. Plagues in the towns help drive people back to the old British ways of country living. How are we going to defend ourselves? We could throw these old coins at them. 336. The British appeal to Rome for help against the Saxons. No help arrives. The days of Roman Britain are over. The Saxons have the rich southeast. The Britons have to make do with the poor wild north and west. Home sweet home. The rotten Roman army. The Roman army didn't run all of Roman Britain. Once they'd won the battles, they moved on to fight somewhere else. Towns were built in the conquered territories with Roman lords in charge. Just in case the Britons felt like revolting, the Romans let retired Roman soldiers settle in the land outside the towns. A circle of trusted men to warn of danger. And if the beaten Brits did give trouble, then the army could get back quickly to help by marching along the new Roman roads. Your teachers will tell you all about the legends and what they were and how they lived, but they don't know everything. Test your teachers. Ask your teacher these questions. Can they get more than 5 out of 10? Can you? If you were a Roman soldier, what would you wear under your leather kilt? A. Nothing. B. Underpants. C. Fig leaves. 2. Where would you drive on the Roman roads? A. On the right. B. Down the center. C. On the left. 3. How long would you have to stay in the army once you joined? A. 25 years. B. 5 years. C. The rest of your life. I'm a centurion, centurion. 4. Who could you marry? A. Anyone. B. No one. C. A Roman. 5. Who paid for your uniform, weapons, food, and burial? A. The emperor. B. They were free. C. You paid for them yourself out of your wages. 6. How tall did you have to be? A. Over 1.8 meters. B. Between 1.6 and 1.8 meters. C. Under 1.6 meters. 7. What would you use instead of toilet paper? A. A sponge on the end of a stick dipped in cold water. B. Your tunic. C. The daily newspaper. 8. Your spear, pilum, had a 60-centimeter metal head that would snap off after it hit something. Why? A. So the enemy couldn't pick up the spear and throw it back. B. So you could put the metal head in your pocket when you were marching. C. Because the Roman armorers couldn't make the head stay on. 9. Why was one Roman centurion called Give Me Another? A. Because he liked his soldiers to sing as they marched. When they'd finished one song, he'd call out, Give Me Another! B. Because he was greedy. After eating a pig's head, he'd cry out, Give Me Another! C. Because he cruelly beat his soldiers so hard he smashed his canes and had to call out, Give Me Another! 10. Why would the army doctor not notice your screams as he treated your wounds? A. Because he enjoyed making you suffer. B. Because he was trained to carry on without paying attention to a soldier's cries. C. Because the Romans only employed deaf men as doctors. Answers 1B, 2C. But they often barged straight down the middle of town streets in their chariots. They marched there, too, trampling anyone who got in the way with their hobnailed boots. 3A, 4B. but they often had wives outside of the camp. 5C. 6B. But this rule was sometimes broken when the army was desperate for men, and the men who were too small might still have to work for the army even if they couldn't fight. 7A. And you'd share it with everyone else in the public toilets. Sometimes you'd use a lump of moss, though, and that would be flushed away. 8A. 9C. 10B. The Rottenly Clever Roman Army. The Romans were the best army in the ancient world because they used something their enemies didn't. The Romans used their brains. Are you as brainy? Here's some problems the Romans overcame. What would you have done if you'd faced these problems? 1. Julius Caesar had a land army in Gaul, rather than France. When the Veneti tribe there rebelled, they captured 2 Roman messengers and sailed off with them. Caesar quickly had ships built and followed. The Veneti were excellent sailors, but poor fighters. Caesar needed a weapon that would stop the Veneti ships from sailing off while Roman soldiers climbed aboard. There was no gunpowder for cannon or bullets. What simple but very successful weapon did the Romans make? 2. After the British Queen Boudicca was beaten, the Romans were able to move into the fenlands of East Anglia. The grass was rich, but the land was very wet. If the Romans tried to wade through the swamps, the local tribes ambushed them. Then a new general arrived from Italy's Pontine Marshes. He showed the soldiers how to get through swamps without wading up to their waists in water. What did he teach them? 3. In the early days of the Roman Republic, the Romans came up against the Greek king Pyrrhus. The Greek strategy was to go into battle led by elephants. The elephants would charge at the Romans, trample them, and send them running. But the Romans learned quickly. At the Battle of Beneventum, they found a way to face an elephant charge. And win. What would you do? 4. Some of the young men in the conquered lands did not want to fight in the Roman army. They meant leaving their homes, farms, and families to fight, and maybe die in some distant corner of the world. The young men cut off the thumb of their right hand so they couldn't hold a sword. If they couldn't hold a sword, then they wouldn't be expected to fight in the Roman army. The Roman generals realized that all of these thumbless young men were trying to outwit them. What was their solution? 5. One day, Emperor Hadrian went to the public baths where his skin was carefully cleaned by slaves with scrapers. He saw an old man rubbing his back against a column. The old man was one of Hadrian's old soldiers. Hadrian asked why he was rubbing himself against the marble. The old man said it was because he couldn't afford a slave with a scraper. Hadrian gave the man slaves and money. But, next day, the public baths were full of old men rubbing their backs against the marble. They were obviously scrounging for a Hadrian handout. What would you do if you were Hadrian? Answers 1. The Romans attached hooked knives onto the ends of long poles. As they neared the Veneti ships, the Romans slashed the enemy ropes and sails to stop them sailing. Then they climbed aboard the Veneti boats and overpowered the sailors. The leaders were executed and the sailors sold for slavery. 2. How to use stilts. They were a great success at first. Eventually, the tribes of the Fens learned to knock the Romans off the stilts and stab them as they fell. Oh, well, it seemed like a brilliant idea at the time. 3. The Roman front line split in 2. The elephants charged harmlessly through the line. They were too clumsy for the drivers to stop and turn. The helpless riders just kept going to the back of the Roman army, where they were special troops waiting with long, sharp spears. They jabbed the elephants until the maddened creatures turned around and charged back again. The elephants flattened the Greek army, who weren't expecting them. 4. Cut off their heads. Anyone trying to avoid army service was sentenced to death. The young men soon learned this new law and decided to fight. Possible death in war was better than certain death by execution. The Romans also branded or tattooed unwilling soldiers. If the soldier deserted, then he would have trouble hiding the fact that he was supposed to be in the army. 5. Hadrian simply told the old men to rub each other. Make the punishment fit the crime. If you think punishments at school are hard, then how would you like to have been in the Roman army? The barbarian armies charged at the Romans like bulls in a matador, and we know who usually wins that contest. The Roman army had discipline. They did what they were told every time. And if they didn't do as they were told, no matter how small the offense, they had to be punished. Try to guess which crime earned which punishment. Crime punishment. 1. Laziness. 2. Falling asleep on duty. 3. Running away in a battle. 4. Putting your unit in danger. 5. Running away with your unit. Punishment. A. Decimation of a unit. One man is every... is executed. B. Sleep outside the safety of the camp. C. Get the worst food. Rough barley instead of good corn. D. Death by beating. E. Death by stoning. Answers 1B, 2C, 3D, 3E. Your unit would throw the stones. 5A. The unlucky 1 in 10 was chosen by drawing lots. But the reward fit the action. Of course, there were good sides to being a Roman soldier, too. Otherwise, no one would have wanted to join the army. The goodies were, 1. The army took 2 parts of every 7 you earned in wages and saved it for you. When you retired, they gave you all your savings and a piece of land. You could retire in comfort, if you lived long enough. Done fighting. 2. You could make extra wealth by robbing the countries you defeated. You could take money, animals, or even living prisoners that you could sell for slaves. I think I've got the sack. 3. For brave actions, there were no medals. There were crowns. A crown of oak leaves for saving the life of a fellow citizen. Caesar won one at Mytilene when he was just 20 years old. B. A crown of plaited grass for rescuing an army under siege. C. A crown of gold for being the first soldier over the wall of an enemy town. Don't get sick. Roman doctors knew how to amputate mangled limbs, remove tonsils, mend broken bones. Next. But Roman doctors didn't know about anesthetics to put you to sleep while they hacked you about. Roman doctors could make medicines to cure sickness, but they had to mix them with honey to try to disguise the disgusting tastes. Did you know a Roman legionary always went to battle with a first aid kit of bandages and healing herbs? The cutthroat Celts. The Britons were part of the Celtic peoples. At one time, the Celts had roamed around the world as much as the Romans did. One man put an end to all that, the Roman Emperor Julius Caesar. The Celts used to fight fiercely for their tribal chiefs, but the tribes often fought against each other when they should have been fighting together against Julius Caesar. They needed one strong leader to bring them all together, but when that leader arrived, it was too late. We'll get rid of the Romans after we've polished off you. Yeah? Oh, yeah? Yeah. First, Vercingetorix was a Celtic chief who was just as clever as Caesar at fighting and leading. Would you have been as clever as Vercingetorix? Here are some of the problems he faced. Could you have solved them? Vercingetorix versus Caesar. 1. You meet the chiefs of the tribes every day to plan your war against Caesar. One of the chiefs argues against you. What do you do about him? A. Say to him, "Look, my friend, we must all stick together if we want to beat the rotten Romans. So please trust me. Remember, united we stand, but divided we fall." Pretty please. B. Get upset. Say, "If you're going to argue with me, you can find yourselves another leader. I'll fight Caesar by myself. When I've beaten him, I'll beat you next. You'll be sorry." C. Don't get upset. Simply have his ears cut off and one of his eyes gouged out. Send him back to his tribe with a message, "This is what you get if you mess with Vercingetorix." We had a bit of a falling out. 2. Caesar is a long way from home and a long way from fresh supplies. The Romans need food for the soldiers and their horses. They are getting it from the Celtic towns in the region of the Biturges tribe. What can you do to stop them? A. Tell the Biturges chief to burn his towns to the ground and send his people to live with other tribes. B. Tell the Biturges chief to destroy all the food in the towns but let the people stay. C. Tell the Biturges chief to burn his towns to the ground but move all the people to the capital city of Avarica. We could visit your mother's family up north. I think I'll wait for the Romans. 3. Your tactics are working. Caesar is getting desperate for food. He sets off for Avaricum, which is the region's grain depot. How can you defend Avaricum against Caesar's army? A. Build a wooden wall. B. Build a stone wall with a ditch in front. C. Build a brick wall. There, Caesar begins to build towers on wheels to push up to the walls. When these towers reach the walls, the Romans will let down a drawbridge at the top and swarm over your walls. What can you do? A. Build an even taller tower behind your walls and throw down fireballs on the top of them. B. Leave the town and attack Caesar's towers. C. Run away. A simple guard tower would have done. 5. Caesar cannot get the towers near the walls because there is a ditch in front of the walls. He sends soldiers into the ditch, into the forest to chop down trees. He rolls the logs into the ditch and begins to fill it up. What can you do to stop the Romans filling the ditch? A. Dig a tunnel under your walls and set fire to the logs. B. Surrender. C. Send a raiding party out to steal the Roman axes so they can't chop down any more trees. Vercingetorix, the enemy's axeless. I'm glad he said that. 6. The Romans manage to get towers up to the walls. You would like to set fire to them, but the clever Romans have covered them with leather, which doesn't catch fire very easily. What can you throw at them instead? A. Dead horses. B. Boiling fat and tar. C. Cold water. 7. Despite your efforts, the Romans reach the walls. They catch hold of the top of the wall with hooks and swarm up the ropes attached to the hooks. What's the best defense against this? A. Throw the hooks back. B. Pull the hooks up and drag them inside your fort. C. Wait for the Romans to climb them and try to kill them as they reach the top. All the big animals have gone. We're down to chickens. 8. During the Roman assault, it begins to rain heavily. What do your defenders do? A. Run for shelter until the rain stops and hope the Romans do the same. B. Fight on and get wet. C. Ask the Romans for a ceasefire until the weather improves. Oh, I say, shall we stop for tea? 9. The Romans reach the streets of Avaricum. They begin slaughtering every man, woman, and child in sight. What should Vercingetorix do? A. Give himself up. B. Fight to the death. C. Make sure his best fighting men escape through a back entrance. 10. Vercingetorix reaches the safety of Alesia. The Romans are falling. You have a large army. What should you do with it? A. Send most of the army away to gather help from other Celtic tribes and keep just a few to defend Alesia. B. Keep all the soldiers in Alesia and hope the help will arrive. C. Leave the army in Alesia and go for help yourself. I'll be back. Promise. Vercingetorix's 10 steps to Rome are answers. 1. Vercingetorix could not afford to show any weakness or he'd be killed by the other Celtic chiefs. He could not plead 1A or sulk 1B. He had to show he meant business and would make an example of anyone who opposed him, 1C. 2. Vercingetorix made just one mistake. He couldn't destroy the supplies and leave the people in the towns. 2b. The warriors would not have fought if they knew the Romans had captured their wives and children. He should have destroyed the supplies and the towns. 2a. If you chose 2a, then you'd have been a crueler but better leader than Vercingetorix. But the Biturages were proud of Avaricum. They pleaded with Vercingetorix not to destroy it. He weakened and agreed. 2c. From then on, he was pretty well doomed. 3. Vercingetorix had fought the Romans for years and knew their way of fighting. They would have simply burned a wooden wall, 3a, and battered down a brick wall, 3c. The best wall was a solid stone wall with a ditch in front, 3b. 4. Caesar wasn't put out by the solid walls of Avaricum. He began building towers. Vercingetorix expected this and didn't give up, 4c. Of course, he didn't leave the safety of the town and attack the Romans in open battle, 4b, because that's exactly what they wanted. He just ordered bigger towers to be built behind his own walls, 4a. 5. Caesar could defeat the ditch by filling it with new logs. Vercingetorix couldn't stop him, 5c, but didn't let him beat him, 5b. The Biturages were good iron miners and so could dig shafts. They dug one under the Roman logs and set fire to them, 5a. This delayed the Roman attack, but failed to stop it. 6. The Celtic soldiers knew that the only thing that would slow down the Roman towers wasn't anything solid, 6a, but liquid, which would run through the joints in the Roman umbrella. Cold water wasn't going to hurt them, 6c, but boiling tar and oil would. This is what they did, 6b. 7. The Romans were determined and getting hungrier. They began to use grappling hooks to climb the walls. There was no point in throwing them back, 7a, because the Romans would just try again at another spot. No one had been able to stop the Romans by trying to kill them at the top, 7c, because there were just too many of them. Clever Vercingetorix devised the plan of hauling up the hooks and taking away the Roman weapons, 7b. 8. When a rainstorm hit Avaricum, all of Vercingetorix's cleverness was undone by the stupidity of his men. They should have fought on 8b. The Romans wouldn't let some rain stopped them, 8c, but it was no use expecting them to. The defenders ran for shelter, 8a. The Romans leapt over the walls. Hey, where did everybody go? 9. Vercingetorix knew that the battle for Avaricum was lost, but the war wasn't. He wasn't going to give up, 9a. On the other hand, there was no point in waiting to be killed, 9b, when there were new Celtic armies waiting to fight. All he had to do was to escape with the soldiers and fight again, 9c. Unfortunately, the women who were being left behind to be massacred didn't like the idea. Not surprisingly, really. They began wailing and screaming. This gave the escape plan away to the Romans, and they hurried to cut off the escape route. The Romans massacred 30,000 Avaricum people. Only Vercingetorix and 800 others escaped to fight another day.